Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter. In danger of an 0-2 week as the number one team in the country, Purdue found another year and charging back to beat NC State in Brooklyn on Sunday. Now with finals week coming, what does Purdue need to do to get rolling again? That's some football commitments, signing day, other football news, much more on this jam-packed Gold and Black Radio. Kyle Charter's here with Brian Newbert. We'll talk to Tom Dienhart in just a couple of minutes. Brian in the airport there, traveling back from the game on Sunday. Brian, I spent probably a little bit too much time on Twitter yesterday with the glass half empty. I'm going to spend today trying to fill it back up a little bit. Should we take positives away from, and we should, I suppose, that Purdue found a way to get a win and have a 1-1 week, despite really at times not playing very well?
Of course, yeah. I mean, they were down 13 points in the second half, and obviously it spoke volumes about their competitiveness, about their ability to rise to the occasion, all of that stuff. That they were able to come back and win that game. I don't think that should be overlooked because the first 34 minutes or whatever it was were, you know, kind of an eyesore. I think the overall story of that game is a positive one. It also has to be told in a complete manner. And I think, as I said after the game last night, I think the most appropriate response here for Purdue is to celebrate that win and then treat it like a loss. And because, you know, I think for as much as we've discussed, you know, how unique this team is in terms of everybody's willingness to sacrifice and accept fewer minutes, you know, for the greater good, so to speak, the greater competitive good, I think, you know, there's a measure of buy-in here that seems to be lacking, particularly on the defensive end of the floor. I think, you know, there are still some real cracks in the facade here in terms of their ability to play together, their ability to be diligent and focused on what they're supposed to be doing. And then obviously the season-long issue of taking care of the basketball. You know, it's not a matter of the total turnovers as much as it is the impact of those turnovers. When Purdue, you know, turned the ball over five times over the course of seven possessions there in the second half, that's when I thought they were cooked, because they had that was sort of when the game seemed to be getting away from them, and one of their fatal flaws was really kind of rearing its ugly head. So I think Purdue ought to be ecstatic that it came back and won that game and take a lot of, you know, confidence from that, but also that they need to be diligent in making sure they never have to do that again in a game like the one that was played on Sunday, where, you know, they never should have been in the position they were in. That's two games in a row now where Purdue put itself in a really bad position, in part due to the opponent, but probably more so because of their own failings. And I think Purdue just needed to get this week over with. They needed – every team has good weeks and bad weeks, and this was a bad week for Purdue, and they just needed to get it over with and for them to salvage a win before getting the hell home and, you know, having an opportunity to kind of sit back and process things and hopefully for their sake get better. It was really big that they were able to salvage a win kind of against all odds there.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they had really put their backs up against the wall, and it's sort of crazy that you can play like that in two games and you're a half-court heave away from still managing your way through what has been a really difficult week with a 2-0 record and still being number one in the country. It does not happen that way, thanks to Ron Harper Jr., but plenty of things to take away to try and improve upon. I thought it was interesting, Brian, some of Sasha Stefanovic's comments after the game, at least the ones I saw that Andy Katz, about sort of alluding to the idea that Purdue's not a very good practice team, or at least not a very consistently good practice team. Do you think there's some truth to that, and does Purdue need to practice better to take that into games, and maybe that's where some of this the problem lies for the Boilermakers right now?
I didn't hear that comment, but that's interesting. I do think, you know, Purdue has a lot of players and they have a lot of, you know, talent. You know, there's probably more pros on this team than any team Purdue's had prior to this one under Matt Painter. they need to, you know, understand that this isn't easy, and this is a this is a day-to-day process. Teams talk all the time about it being the proverbial one-game season, and we all roll our eyes when they say stuff like that because we hear it so much. You know, Purdue does need to not take anything for granted here, and I've kind of said here the last couple of weeks is that, you know, a couple of things about how easily scoring came to them early in the season, you just hope that didn't, for their sake, you hope that didn't condition them to expect to just be able to roll the ball out against anybody and score a lot of points, because stuff in the Big Ten changes. It always changes. It's a very different game once you get into conference play, and that's true in most conferences in America, but especially the Big Ten. And, you know, stuff wasn't going to come as easy for Purdue offensively as it did early in the season, and, you know, people were going to figure them out a little bit. You know, there was going to be a lot of stuff on tape, you know, so on and so forth. And just as casual as Purdue's been with the basketball and stuff like that, you just kind of worry for their sake that that's, they're sort of conditioned that way all of a sudden. And they got to get that out of their system if that's the case. And then, obviously, you know, being number one in the country, I'm not a psychologist. I don't know what sort of impact that could have had on them. But you always worry about the complacency that comes with thinking you've arrived. I have no idea if that factored into Purdue's play these past two games, but it's something to bring up as a possibility, because the Purdue team we saw the last two games was not the same as the Purdue team we saw prior to the Iowa game. And right around the 10-minute mark of the Iowa game was right around when, you know, it was clear Purdue was going to win, and, you know, perhaps the coronation started in some people's mind. Everybody knew they were going to be number one, and you could kind of hear the crowd starting to talk about being number one and stuff like that. It's human nature. Mm-hmm. It's human nature, you know, to have that stuff top of mind. I mean, how in the hell, if we were players, and thank God we're not, if we were players and we were about to become number one in the country, you don't think you're going to think about that when you're up 19 points in the second half in your first Big Ten game? I would be, you know, that's just human nature. And I have 44 years of life experience too, and wisdom, presumed wisdom, to process things like that. I'm not, you know, an 18 to 21 year old male who is still, you know, still has the testosterone pumping through him 24 hours a day. So it's just kind of human nature, you know, to go through some of the stuff Purdue's gone through here, if any of this stuff has any sort of bearing on how they played. But, you know, the biggest part of this, again, is every team has good weeks. Every team has bad weeks. That's the nature of college basketball. You've seen it over and over again at Purdue over the years. You've seen losing streaks when there should have been losing streaks. You've seen winning streaks when, you know, I don't know if anybody expected Purdue to win 19 games in a row after they lost to Tennessee and Western Kentucky and Atlantis a couple years ago. It's just, it's the nature of a very volatile game. And if anybody thought Purdue was unbeatable when they were like 6-0 or 7-0 or whatever, they were just dead wrong. And if Purdue thought it was unbeatable, Purdue is especially dead wrong. So Purdue has to use this as kind of a launching pad moment.
Yeah, a good thing that we are not players. I should say I probably went a little overboard with some tweets yesterday, and I hassled Sasha Stefanovic for a couple of turnovers. I would like to point out that Sasha could probably catch and shoot and make 6 3-pointers in the time that took me to A, catch the ball, B, like, get it in the right spot, C, decide to shoot it, and D, miss it. Like, I mean, he can find a play.
That's where we're all punching ourselves in the face on Twitter, because it's a playground for all of our worst editorial impulses.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And I lost my impulse control yesterday a couple times. Lineup changes. I mean, Travion Williams, I understand why he's coming off the bench, and he's great at coming off the bench. There's got to be a need a little bit in Matt Painter's mind, and he alluded to it in the postgame yesterday, of changing what they're doing at the start of the first half and the start of the second half, because they're just getting off to slow starts.
Yeah, and I think that's directly correlated to, you know, one player. I think, you know, Purdue's emphasis is always getting the ball inside first, second, third to start games for obvious pragmatic reasons. I mean, you want to establish the post right away, defense respond, and then play off of that. You obviously want to go to your most acute matchup advantage right away. And for whatever reason, he's just not getting off – Zach Edey's just not getting off the great starts. He's gotten some good looks that he's just not made. And he's just not been as productive as he is when he after he comes out of the game and kind of comes back in and has settled into the game. You know, Travion Williams playing as well as Travion Williams is playing kind of shines a little bit of an extra light on it. But Purdue, I don't know if Edey's getting the position he normally gets either to start games. Now, part of that is the energized defense to start the game, too, I'm quite certain. But, you know, I don't know if Purdue needs to change the starting five. I don't know. I think you're in a pretty good comfort zone with Travion Williams here. But, you know, I'll go back a couple years ago when, you know, Purdue was struggling a little bit, Matt Harms was struggling a little bit as a starter, and Painter switched the starters at the five, thinking that not only could that help the starting five, but could also help Harms kind of ease into the game a little bit. And I understand why they're starting Zach Edey. He was the better player all summer. He's obviously the more physically imposing matchup, and I can't believe I'm saying that about anybody when Travion Williams is the other guy. But consider. Now, that being said, you've lost one game on a prayer, so I think overreaction is probably not on the table here, but I think that maybe it would help Edey if he could kind of watch for a couple minutes and then sort of do what Williams is doing, where he's kind of taken advantage of a team that's, you know, perhaps picked up a foul or two early and has been worn down a little bit by going against one monster, and then the second monster comes in and you know, has a little bit of an extra advantage. But I don't know. I mean, I don't think Purdue needs to make wholesale changes here because they lost one game and played poorly in another. I think they just need to get better in terms of what they're doing with who they're playing. But all season long, it's going to be one player is going to play one game more than another, and then vice versa the next game. It's going to be two different things: the people who start the game and the people who finish the game, things like that. That's the nature of this team. You've got 10 guys, and you know, Caleb First might start a game, Ethan Morton might play more, Mason Gillis might finish. You know, that's the way it might be here, because this is a very unique team in that regard.
Yeah. Travion Williams is playing really well, obviously. Man, I love the offense when they have him as the sort of wing facilitator. I mean, that, you know, that sort of change-up that Purdue can throw it. They went to it at times in the second half, and it seemed to, you know, jump-start what had been sort of a stagnant, to say the least, offense.
What's pretty
but, man,
funny
it's
about
just
what
a
Travion
different
Williams
look that he's – yeah.
What's pretty funny about what Travion Williams is doing – sorry to interrupt. I can't hear you over the – teacher from the Peanuts over the PA here. What's funny about what Travion Williams is doing is he's doing it differently. You know, everybody thinks of Travion Williams as this load at the rim who's just really hard to handle, and that's true. But he's done so much stuff facing the basket and driving. There have been a couple of, like, possessions that have been, like, the least Purdue thing ever because it's just been, like, Travion Williams dribbling around and then scoring.
Yeah.
It's kind of – at times, it's kind of looked like this very un-Purdue, like Carmelo Anthony sort of iso ball, where it's just give it to Travion Williams, let him dribble it behind his back, and let him, you know, do kind of like a little mixtape thing here for a while, and then he ends up somehow, you know, scoring. He's just a really unique player in that regard, in that he can play facing the basket, he can play with his back to the basket, he can facilitate offense running it through him at the elbow, and he can pass out of the post and things like that. He's just been really good. I think he's doing a good job defensively on the perimeter too. You know, he blocked four shots yesterday. That was a really huge part of that game too, that, you know, I think usually gets overlooked. But you know, he's been one of the most clutch players. I wrote this last night, one of the most clutch players Purdue's had here the last few years. He's made so many big plays, and every time Purdue's needed him down the stretch of a game, it seems like he's delivered for him.
Yeah. And it seems like a really good leader too. That guys follow him, and that he's doing all those things that you want on a deep team, you know, accepting coming off the bench, those kinds of things. You know, whether that continues or not, we'll see. But I didn't expect that
I
necessarily
think
out of
all
him.
The right things. I think he's setting a good example. Yeah. I think the habits maybe sometimes are still kind of coming along.
Yeah.
But,
right.
You know, he's put a really positive face on this team. And, you know, I think he deserves a lot of credit for that as
right.
a big part of, you know, Purdue's success so far. And when he's been a big part of Purdue's success so far, now he needs to be part of the solution, as all the seniors do.
Yeah. Thanks, Brian. Have a safe trip back.
Sorry for all the interruptions.
No, you're fine. Which airport are you standing in?
Just kind of conditioned here, being out east to talk over people.
there you go.
I'm in LaGuardia. I'm staring at Rikers Island, and I'm wondering which one would be more pleasant, where I'd rather be spending my time right now.
All right. Safe trip back. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah. All right. See you.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Tom Dienhart. A lot to get to him about some big football news, of course, both this weekend and this morning. We'll hit that next on Gold and Black Radio. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, Industrial and Classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table. As we blitz into 2021, JFQ Lending is extending an exclusive offer for Gold and Black members to take advantage of historically low mortgage rates. JFQ Lending will cover any out-of-pocket costs for an appraisal when required. In addition, it will cover the underwriting fee of $1,365. JFQ Lending has a Better Business Bureau A rating with more than 2,000 reviews. It works with top lenders to do the hard work of finding the best deal for you. If you're curious whether refinancing your mortgage is a good decision, reach out to Andrew Hogberg today. Call 480-478-0257 or email Andrew at heyhogberg, that's A-H-O-G-B-E-R-G, at jfqlending.com.
It's time to boiler up and join the Braum Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Experience unparalleled comfort, service, and cuisine at the Whitaker Inn. This Midwestern oasis is perfect for a relaxing staycation or weekend getaway. Escape from the ordinary at the Whitaker Inn.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics.
Yeah, football back in the spotlight a lot this week. Signing day coming up on Wednesday. Purdue got a couple of commitments over the weekend. We'll talk to Tom Dienhart about those guys and also about the big news that came just before we jumped on this podcast, and that being that Aiden O'Connell is going to return for his sixth super senior season with the Boilermakers. I don't think that was necessarily a surprise, but nice to see it now officially announced. Aiden O'Connell will be back, Tom.
Yeah, you're right, Kyle. Not earth-shaking news, but like you said, everybody was kind of waiting for that verdict to come down. And like you said, it came down this morning. Purdue tweeted out a statement from O'Connell, who's not on social media, which I find fascinating. Says a lot about the kid, right? And, yeah, I tell you what, Purdue's chances for success in 2022, obviously you took a big jump up. With O'Connell throwing his hat into the ring for next season. So great news for the Boilermakers. And I tell you what, it's going to be fun to see what he can do coming back and building off what he's accomplished this year already.
Purdue will go into the offseason with an established starting quarterback for, gosh, the first time in what feels like more than a decade. How much does that mean to Purdue?
Yeah, you're right. Boy, you covered Purdue a long time too, and there's been a lot of tumult at that position the last 10 or so years. Through Danny Hope's regime, and Daryl Hazel's regime, and Jeff Brohm has started at least, I think, two quarterbacks every year he's been here, right? And getting a guy who started eight games this year, well, I guess he'll get a ninth start coming up here in Nashville later this month. And, yeah, I mean, it goes without saying, you know, it's pretty simplistic. If you have a veteran quarterback like this coming back, well, I tell you what, Kyle, just the swagger that gives your offense, the confidence that gives everybody on that offense, no one can snap for you, is really good. And it's going to put you in positions to succeed. So he makes everybody around him better. And like I said, that veteran presence is really, really going to give that offense a nice weapon moving forward without David Bell, of course.
Yeah, there were other announcements last week, including by Bell and George Karlaftis, who both announced, as we assumed, that they would be going on to the NFL. And I think that's the right move for both of those guys. I mean, you're talking about a first-round, probably top-10 draft pick, and a guy that, at worst, will be picked in the third round and probably higher than that. I was uncertain whether that meant they clearly were not playing in the bowl game. Has that been settled yet?
Not yet. We are going to talk to Jeff Brohm today, approximately 1:30. They've had two practices, Friday and Saturday. They got to practice today. So I'm sure we'll pose that question to Coach Brohm as far as the availability of Bell and Karlaftis for the Music City Bowl. But no, there's been no official word from anybody, neither from Karlaftis nor Bell or anybody on the coaching staff, on if they're going to play in that bowl game. You know, I think it probably can safely assume they're not going to play, but again, we're still waiting to hear officially somebody somebody of value and credibility to really give us that news.
Yeah. Signing day comes up on Wednesday. Purdue picked up a couple of more commitments, both of them the secondary over the weekend. I think you had a chance to talk to both of these guys. One of them, a defensive back, Bryce Hampton, from a D2 school, who will transfer in out of the portal, and Pike safety, Joseph Jefferson, who committed to the Boilermakers and will join that class. He commits on Sunday. Secondary in need, and Purdue gets two guys, one of them a more veteran guy, to join the team.
Yeah, you're right. The kid from Adams State in Colorado, Bryce Hampton, 6 foot, 185, 190-pound cornerback. He played receiver running back in college as well. He was at two junior colleges, then of course went to Adams State, so Purdue's going to be his fourth college. And I think we all can agree the cornerback spot was one where Purdue needed to add some veteran help via the portal, and I think this kid can help him out back there. I'm not sure if he's going to start. I think Jamari Brown and Corey Trice will probably hold those spots. I'm assuming Dedrick Mackey's not going to be back, but who knows. But, again, they know they have Brown and Trice back, and they got this Bryce Hampton kid as well, so he can give them some veteran presence back there. And, yeah, Joseph Jefferson goes to Pike High School. He's not going to enroll early, he told me today. He's going to finish out the spring semester at Pike. And, safety, a bigger kid. And, again, that's a position where there's no immediate need at Purdue when you got guys like Marvin Grant, Cam Allen, and Sanusi Kane still coming back. But still, he's a guy, obviously, that has the potential the coaching staff likes.
Signing day is coming up on Wednesday. I know you've broken down, and people can read those at goldenblack.com, sort of the portal needs, which I know is separate from the high school signing day. But what are your thoughts? Will Purdue get more transfer portal guys here in the near term? I mean, obviously, that there are some pretty big needs out there still for Purdue.
Yeah, hopefully for Purdue's sake, they do. They'd love to get them in now so they can go through spring drills. Bryce Hampton,
yeah.
Kid's going to get he's going to enroll in January and go through spring drills. So, OC Brothers did that last year. That helped, obviously. So, Tyler Witt, obviously, always like getting those guys in early if you can. So, maybe we will get a couple more transfer portal news items here before the second semester starts in January. Because there's no doubt, like you said, Kyle, I kind of broke down, in my view, what the transfer portal needs were position by position for Purdue. And there certainly are areas that they could use some veteran help, I think. And, if you follow this at all, you see the guys through social media who visited Purdue, who have offers from Purdue, wide receivers, offensive lineman, linebacker. So those kind of gives you an indication of the positions they're looking at. But I will say this too, Kyle. You know, Jeff Brohm, I think, will take anybody if he thinks it can really help the team, even if there's not a real yawning need at that position.
Right, right. Last question, Tom. How are you feeling? You sound like you might not be 100%. Are you hanging in there?
Yeah, I did. You know, yesterday was bad for me, man. I tell you, I had a kind of fever and whatnot, but I'm feeling a little better today. I may not sound good, but I'm feeling better. I was a little congested, but I'm on the back end of this cold, I think, my friend.
There you go. All right, Tom, appreciate it. Thank you.
Take care, buddy.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back, put a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that coming up next on Golden Black Radio.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard to shop for and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill. Visit gridironmetal.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
Signing day coming up on Wednesday. Be sure to check out all of those stories leading up until Wednesday on goldandblack.com. Of course, more analysis of the basketball team there as well. That'll do it for the podcast for this week. Thanks to our sponsors. And for Brian Newbert and Tom Deanhart, I'm Kyle Chargers. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.